upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, listeners. Just a heads up that in this week's episode, we're discussing the 2022 film Blonde, and as the movie contains some scenes of graphic sexual assault, domestic abuse, and abortion imagery, we do touch on these topics in our conversation. As always, we strive to engage with these matters carefully and considerately, but if this content makes you uncomfortable, then you might want to give this episode a skip. Thanks for listening. Okay, so here we are, we're back for another episode of Throw in the Pow. As we might know, I'm Frank.
I'm Tom.
Great. Oh, and I'm Marcus for doing that.
And
I'm Chris.
Thank you for joining us.
This is Throw in the Pow, where we talk about movies. One of us comes in loving it, one of us comes in hating it, and the rest are mysteries, and we figure it out along the way.
Although we will say we're breaking with format today because none of us actually know how we feel about this movie. So every now and then we're going to throw in a bit of a wild card.
And throw in the mystery pal.
Throw in the mystery pal.
Wow.
Have we done the theme song?
I don't know. I can put it in at any point.
It will have played at some point.
Right now.
Throw in the pal.
Oh, that was such a good song.
That was great. Well done.
Was that a B-flat 7?
My favourite part was definitely the B-flat 7.
Tell me more about it. Anyway, so today, what are we talking about?
The film. We are talking about Blonde.
Blonde. Starring
Ana de Armas.
Ana de Armas.
Great.
I gave a bit of an accent to that, actually.
That was really...
Did you, or did you just say it slowly?
I did say it a lot slower. This is a Netflix film. It's very new. It's very recent. And it's a hot topic of conversation.
Very hot topic. The internet is going...
extremely divisive.
Crazy. And it's directed by Australian... written and directed by the Australian Andrew Dominique. Also known for his work in... Chopper.
Chopper, hey. Assassination of Jesse James and Killing Them Softly.
Here we go. He's just read off the IMDb top four.
I have. Those are his only movies. So go ahead. Those are his only films.
He has 11 credits.
He has two concert films he's made with Nick Cave.
Oh, yeah.
And Warren Ellis.
That would explain the music.
That would explain the music, which is wonderful, I will say, but we'll get into that. Andrew Dominique is probably one of the most acclaimed Australian filmmakers going at
Except
the moment.
Baz Luhrmann. Who we have spoken about previously on the pod.
Yes. I would say probably Andrew Dominique is much more adored by he's a critical darling. Assassination of Jesse James is one of those movies that if you go back to the 2000s, that's everyone's top 10 list for that decade. It's a beautiful film. But we'll get more into that.
He's not quite a household name at this point.
No, certainly not.
Chopper. I know lots of Andrews, but not Andrew Dominique.
Potentially on the way.
Is Blonde going to put in there?
I think not. But that's...
We're into it already. Oh. Okay, so...
All right, Tom, what did you think of Blonde?
Movie Blonde?
Love or hate?
The 2022 film Blonde with Ana de Armas.
Be less specific.
Directed by Andrew Dominique. I kind of liked it.
When you say kind of, that's... I need a number.
Okay.
I would put it pretty squarely at... Oh, we should establish... I have a ridiculous rating system that I'm insisting the boys adopt, which is out of 11, because 11 means a film that you think is phenomenal, best film of the year or best film you've seen in a long time, and a 0 is just trash and unworthy of anything. I would go a 7.5.
We established that your 11 is the golden buzzer.
The 11 is the golden buzzer. Yep. I don't get that reference. I'm sure other listeners will.
Wow. He's so above reality TV. I've never even seen Australia's Got Talent.
I've never even been to Australia.
I love Kate Michie.
I would give this movie 7.5.
Wow. Out of 11.
Out of 11.
That's...
That's the highest rating I think I've given a movie so far.
Okay, we've talked about like four movies at this stage.
This is the fourth, you're right.
Okay, so that's not that outlandish.
Wait, massive scale.
You're right about that. That's the I counted on my fingers.
We've gone back to the arithmetic thing. You're very good at math.
My rhythm's great. So
that's a strong seven from you.
That's a very strong seven from me.
Okay, and Marcus?
I'm going to put this film on... I'm going to say I hated it.
Okay.
I'm going to say I hated it, and I'm going to say I gave it a 4.5.
So hard. It's just before neutral, although I guess 5.5 is like spot on neutral. So
well,
it's
I mean, if we're calling 5 neutral, I'd say I'm a 5.
Mm.
Like, okay. This is a tricky one.
It's out of 11, so 5.5 is the
number. Yeah, I would say 5. I'm going to change. I'm a 5. I'm already changing.
I don't want to adopt this 11, but we have to. We've been forced.
We have to. I'm a 5.
I've threatened their families, yeah. So we are doing the 11.
All right, and I also hated it.
Okay.
I tried so hard.
I'm glad this happened.
Lots of redeeming factors, but not good, honestly. 3.5 out of 11.
So Chris and I found out the hard way that this film, of course, is 3 hours long. Let's start there.
What time did you put it on last night?
I made the rookie mistake of a 10:30 start PM, and I saw it through. I'm not feeling great.
You got here late because the movie was still running.
For a film that I would have potentially loved, 3 hours would go by pretty quickly and fine. But that was a slog. That was a slog. Chris.
It's an interesting one to, like, listening to you guys rate the film. It's interesting because I find it hard to rate because I go into films wanting to enjoy the film, wanting to enjoy the story, but this simply isn't an enjoyable story to be told.
No.
And so it's, you can't walk out of the film going, oh God, I enjoyed that. At least I can't as a viewer of a film. So it's hard to,
life story.
Yeah.
I think the point of the film, if we can all agree, was that, was to be difficult to watch and to not be enjoyable.
Well, it is.
I think that
it's not a biopic. It's not reality.
No.
It's based on the book by Joyce Carol Oates.
Very true, 1999.
So it's like semi-fictional, kind of like, yeah, she had a really sad life and look how sad and horrible it was and she was depressed. And
where do you pull this info from, Tom?
My butler's pantry.
No.
Tell everyone your last name.
My name is Tom Butler, and just before we started, Chris very cleverly came up with the name for the context dumps I shall give, and it is from my butler's pantry.
I'm glad we're not saying context dump anymore.
Yes.
Sorry.
The word dump will not be said again on this show. We're dumping it. It's dumped.
That's a radio term. That's good.
Yes.
Anyway, so it is very sad. It also isn't entirely truthful, which is a lot of people's gripe with this film, is that it is sort of fictionalized and makes her seem like a victim and incredibly depressed, and she gets used for a body where she has no like actual authority over her own life and her own decisions. Yeah. So it's kind of, I get it.
Are you saying
that
aspect is fictionalized, though? Is that the part that you...
I don't know exactly what's fictionalized.
Sure.
But I didn't know Marilyn personally.
I think what nearly...
Norma Jean.
What nearly pushed me over the edge for like liking the film was the fact that it was making a point. It was almost the equivalent of watching Ricky Gervais tear the Hollywood to shreds at the Oscars, right? It was the film equivalent of that, but the pacing was really off and it was hard to watch at times because it opens, just for context, it opens with a really graphic rape scene.
Or straight like 20 minutes in.
20 minutes in, but like it's very early in.
But also
like,
before that, you've got her mother losing her mind, driving her into the fire, and then trying to drown her.
Who have we got? Julianne Nicholson?
It's extremely
actress,
I think so.
Who's really, really wonderful and often gets sort of shoehorned into these roles of playing manic character or a sort of hard done by mother. She was in Mayor of East Town, I assume you're going to say.
Yes.
Yes. And
she's incredible. She's like, what an actress. The whole cast
really dislike the ending of that show, and I think it does poorly by her as a character, but that's a whole other day. I think she's very good in it.
I think I remember it.
It turns out her, spoilers for people who haven't seen Mayor of East Town, her son committed the murder, an 8-year-old.
Awesome.
And so the...
was on my list.
That's our review of Mayor of East Town.
Yeah, awesome.
Marcus is upset at me.
Let's play the theme
song. Throw in the pound.
God damn.
Sounded good.
Yes, I apologize for that.
All right, well, let's go back to Blonde. Marcus and I hated it. Chris, you can't rate it because it's depressing.
It is, yeah. Plus, it's just relentless. It's three hours of watching something beautiful be destroyed repeatedly.
Repeatedly.
It's difficult to watch. And I had to actually look away at a couple of scenes. Those that have seen it would probably know the scenes I'm talking about.
Mm.
They probably have some of their own.
And question for the room.
Mm.
It felt a bit one note because of that, right?
100%.
Did you feel that?
100%. But again, I think that was the point. I think this was very deliberate, extremely deliberate. I don't think this was like misguided writing or direction. I think this was like...
They knew the purpose.
The purpose of this film is to call out Hollywood for what it was and maybe still is. I don't want to be that guy. But, you know, it's a dirty, filthy underworld of deceit and strings being pulled and some nasty stuff and misogynistic from the get-go, let's say that. And she was a perfect example of a 36-year-old that died way too early. She was extremely talented. The thing that this film didn't cover or I think skimmed over was actually how talented that girl was.
Mm.
You see those scenes in the actor's studio.
Yeah.
And she has chops.
Absolutely. And they don't acknowledge it. And again, very intentionally.
And the scene where she proves that she's well-read. That comes up a couple of times throughout and it's dismissed offhand by
100%.
The gentleman that she is, you know, in those
scenes. Yeah, it's the whole thing of like, oh, she's a dumb blonde. She never was, she never has been. She's always been educated, well-read and, like, capable.
Yeah. Not even blonde.
Not even blonde, artificially blonde. Yeah. Oh, wait, so, Tom, you liked it.
I quite liked this movie.
Okay, well, we just need to give him to 10 to 15.
Okay.
Let's hear why. I'll sit back.
Go.
I'm not a good drive by.
Take the collar off.
Too much on this. yes. okay, well, I don't disagree with almost anything you guys have said. So it's all about framing how much I found the production of the film and the way that Dominic chose to tell it engaging, which I did wondrously. I was taken away, like my breath was taken away by constant shots in this movie. I was never bored by the way he chose to tell it. I can see the cynical side of it. I don't know if you guys saw The French Dispatch. If you haven't, that's one we should definitely talk about one day. But The French Dispatch very much uses different film stock, different black and white photography, different aspect ratios, animation even at some points. And I think it's got a more thematic link to why it does that. I'm less convinced with this movie. I was trying to like piece together like, so why is this black and white and why is this colour? And eventually I just went, because it's interesting. I think Andrew Dominic decided it's going to be more interesting if I'm consistently switching things up and I'm keeping you engaged.
I'm sure he had his own justification.
I think so, but there's direct through line of, oh, here's where she's Norma Jean and here's where she's Marilyn.
See, that took me out of the film.
Interesting.
Because I kept trying to figure out why it kept changing. And I'm like, that was the initial thought. Oh, it's in colour when she's Norma Jean.
Yeah.
But then...
Not at all.
It was in black and white when she was doing Norma Jean. Oh, okay. Well, shut up my brain.
Yes. So there's no one-to-one with it. But I did find
I just thought it was happy in colour, sad in black and white.
I don't think it even matches that.
I was joking.
Unfortunately.
Come on.
Oh, really?
Honestly.
Was that a joke? We should have a ring.
I'm sorry. Go back.
There we go. There's the arithmetic. So we... We see so many moments in this film, I think, where Dominic is using, and I think the cinematographer is Charles Irving, who's not someone I'm familiar with at all, and it's really, really beautiful work capturing sort of the depth of black and white photography and reenacting so many of these moments from Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, from Some Like It Hot, these moments where Ana de Armas is so debilitatingly good in the film at being Marilyn Monroe as we remember her is so perfect and iconic.
I love the brief that. Must have been, hey Anna, can you cry?
That's
so
undoubtedly.
We're going to do a lot of that.
You're going to do a lot of that.
It must have been exhausting.
Yes,
I think
this was a credit to her acting chops.
100%.
And I think that for as good as an actress that I believe she is, the film, she carried the film. I think that the film didn't carry her. Vice versa, she, without her, I would have turned it off.
Yeah.
Actually.
I could see that totally. But I have so many, I've got a dozen shots in my head, whether it's when her mother carries her out the front door, when everything's on fire, and she gets out and there's ash just everywhere floating in the air, and just like the saturation and the colour. And I literally, I was about to swear, Frank, but we're not allowed to swear. We're going to try not to swear on the podcast. I'm going to use the word bloody. I bloody gasped. I was like, there are so many moments in this film that made me audibly inhale and Kat's in the other room, like, are you okay? Just like this film. The moments where her and the guy playing Cass, who's Xavier Thomas, I believe. He's the Australian fella who was in...
He was exceptional.
I thought he was pretty good. He's also in Elvis, actually, a film we covered
Xavier
a little while
Samuel,
ago.
Yeah.
Xavier Samuel, and he was in Elvis for about 10 seconds. He's one of the like band members in Elvis, so he's in that.
Yep.
He and the guy playing Eddie G. Robinson Jr., when they're driving down the strip and there's just the shots of all the lights, you know.
Evan Williams?
Okay.
So the cinematography was the star for you?
I think the cinematography and the shot construction, the choice to constantly be like, I'm in my element, Andrew Dominik is, as his ability to construct moments purely from visual, through visual panache and create that. Because I think he knew he didn't have a story if he was going to adapt Joyce Carol Oates that was going to be about the real Marilyn.
Mm.
And that he didn't want to, as Frank has pointed out, make a traditional biopic. God damn, I'm so sick of biopics. I really don't like
them. And it's a trend.
And this movie going... Would you like a scene with a talking fetus when she's like having a conversation within the garden? And I'm like, I've never seen this ever in a movie. It's crazy.
Bold decision. I didn't want that. I never wanted to see
it. I think
and I wish they had.
And I get that. And it's actually, I want to mention two things here very quickly, which is you guys mentioned this is a hot topic film. There's a lot of people who are jumping on the things to do with the sexual violence and the abortions in this film and are reading a conservative slant in it. I don't feel that way, but I see what they mean when you have a talking fetus convincing the mother, please don't harm me, please don't do something nasty to me. People go, right, well, that's some anti-abortion propaganda.
Yeah.
I see it more as Marilyn sort of trying to embrace a side of herself that she, in the film, felt kept getting ripped away from her.
I don't think it was intended as...
I don't think so either. I don't think you sit down with Andrew Dominik and he's like, oh, I'm very pro... Like, you know, I think he's like, what are you talking about? It's like a Lynchian talking fetus. Like, there's nothing to this beyond that. But I am also aware of some criticisms that I find hard to push back against. And I was talking with Kath and some other people about this the other day, which is, should this film have been made by a woman? And I think there's an argument to be made there that this is such a brutal depiction of... sexual violence.
Would it be a different film?
Yes, entirely.
100%.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it would be, which is, you know, maybe controversial. I don't know if it would be a better film. I know that I adore Dominik's style and that his approach to this film as a stylistic, like, just masterwork depicting the just, you know, destruction of this girl. By the way, I'll say all this. You'll notice I'm not giving it like a 10. It's too long. it's far too long.
Yep.
There are moments in it where I was just like, can we get on with this? Like, it's a bit... And there's moments that are obviously hitting their points too over the top.
A bit on the nose.
Jesus Christ, the amount of times where it's someone just being like, you know, there's shots of her being adored by men and screaming at her, and then Bobby Cannavale's beating her for being a whore. And I'm like, oh, this is how we treat women in society. Yes, I get it. And this, the letters from the father, I've got to talk about that later on as well, but I'll stop talking for a bit.
Well, I just wanted to, going back on how brutal it was and if is it pro-life and all this sort of stuff, I really would have, this is not even, this left turn. I just wish at the start they had said, not based on fact or something, because so many people are like,
I think that's what's
are believing
well,
it as
yeah.
a
so many people
I know
really
which is,
real,
which is the problem, because if it's a work of fiction and just like a she's using her as a character, it's kind of cool. I can see, you know, why it's a great film in that regard, but people are like, oh my God, Marilyn, poor thing. I mean, yes, obviously a very sad life, but this is so far to that extreme that people are just...
I think because of the biopic trend at the moment as well, and because it's such a current thing, there's a lot of Marilyn fans out there that went and watched this just being like, I can't wait
Absolutely.
To see this.
This was poorly marketed. very poorly marketed.
I sent it to a friend of mine who I knew loved Marilyn when the first trailer dropped, and I was like... Man, bet you're stoked. And she's like, I can't wait to watch it. And now I'm like, I'm too afraid to talk to her. Yeah. So this is an interesting conversation because we'll get to the end, obviously, and we'll maybe readjust some scores here because I feel like I'm...
That's the whole point.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling weird about the whole thing.
See, I know...
Chris.
Yeah.
What's up, Chris?
I know nothing about Marilyn's life, really. I know a couple of her films.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. She is, you know, not an enigma, but she's just this thing that exists.
Just a figure. You know the picture of her with the dress blowing up and, you know, like you don't know her as a person, you don't know her
symbol,
character.
Yeah.
her personality.
Mm. So going in with that misguided concept of it being a biography,
yeah,
it took a while to settle in, but it was interesting because not knowing her life, you are constantly introduced to these people without them being introduced. Mm. These two gentlemen,
yeah,
she begins a tryst with.
Which yep. is yep. one of the most heavily fictionalized parts of the film. That That's she it. Never had a tryst with Charlie Chaplin Jr. and Edward G. Robinson Jr. That stuff's completely, like yeah. they knew each other maybe, but like that whole sexual awakening part has really upset but she, people.
Her and Charlie Chaplin's son were romantically involved, weren't they, at a point?
As far as I know, no. Maybe there's rumours of that, but that's the thing that a lot of people are pushing back on because it's like that whole thing.
I read something this morning that was like...
Interesting.
Yeah, but that means the internet, what are you going to believe?
Could be it was. Yeah. As far as yeah. I know it, that stuff is the stuff that people are the most like, well, that never happened.
Yeah,
and it's okay. like, well, a lot of this never happened. But sorry, Chris, I interrupted you.
Yeah. I know, it just as a viewer, as a outsider to her life, it seemed to be like a recurring theme. These two gentlemen appeared, they weren't... You know, I don't know who they are. They
meant
weren't
to be
introduced by name, so to speak. Even her father's picture on the wall, he wasn't allowed to be named. I don't know who that is. Mm. Even the baseball player, yeah. I don't believe he was introduced by
Joe DiMaggio,
name.
They never say his name.
No, because in the credits it's baseball player or yeah. retired athlete.
Right.
Yes. But it is, yeah. it's meant to be Joe DiMaggio.
They do actually say Arthur Miller in the film yeah. at one point because they're like, Arthur Miller and Marilyn Monroe will be married. Yes. You know, it's like, okay. I think Adrian Brody's fantastic in this movie,
He's
I want to say.
Good.
But
yeah.
So that's just jumping in there. Bobby Cannavale gets just, nothing to do.
Go yeah, on. But it's just a theme. Constantly there's just
people
men.
Coming.
Yep. Yeah.
Men come in yeah. without introduction Truly. To you. And so it's you know, not put you in her shoes in a certain speed, but like, here's just a new person, yes. a new man.
It's a new day. And they're
because
all
used to this.
I think that was beyond the point, though. I don't think that they needed to name and shame. No. That's not yeah. what this was.
And what did she call them all? They're all daddy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that's which is not, again, like this deep thing. It's like, yeah, she's constantly getting these letters from her father who she never knew and all this sort of stuff. But yeah. yes, they're all this replacement figure for what she
100%.
She doesn't necessarily get. I don't think it's a particularly deep movie. Like, I don't think this is a film that I'd be like, wow, there's so many layers to this. You guys saying it's one note, I'm 100% with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, it's all on the surface.
How miserable was this existence that this person lived? And I don't blame anyone for the reactions they've
but again,
had to this movie.
Yeah, this is why I'm unsure how I feel because I wanted it to cover her films yeah. and the accomplishments that she actually made. I wanted to see more of that. And I guess that's everyone's gripe with it.
And I feel contradictory because when we talked about Elvis, I said that was something I was disappointed in that movie, where yeah. his film career was brushed over in 10 seconds. I think it covered it more here with Marilyn and especially just yeah. the recreation of so many of those shots. Mm. Again, I just when she's singing Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
Shot for shot.
And incredible. I want to be... You're just like... That's actually Marilyn Monroe. It's I know that's so trite to say, but you're looking at it and it's bewildering how yeah, yeah. good she is. I think Anna's perfect. Something I want to say that I'm glad hasn't come up in our conversation, but I will mention it, is a hurdle that I think anyone who wants to enjoy this movie or at least take it on face value has to overcome, and we all seem to have very quickly, is Ana de Armas is not really nailing the accent. And it doesn't really matter because I think she's I think she's exuding Marilyn so much that after just the first couple of minutes, you're like, right, that's what she's going
to
sound like.
I think
like,
it's a credit
whatever.
To her, though. She's got a yes. strong accent. So
she does.
The fact that like 98% of it's Marilyn mm-hmm. and you got that 2% bleed through of her
yeah.
natural tone.
Well, apparently she...
like kudos to her.
Yeah, but apparently they had to ADR the whole thing. The first release, the audience were like, oh my God, she's... not
well,
American.
She's Cuban, yeah.
Yeah, so they're like, so they had to like redo a heap of scenes, ADR.
And to yep. me, I'm just like, it's more about the energy, it's more about the ambience she's giving than does that sound like Marilyn?
And
it didn't really bother me.
But is that our Marilyn in our head watching
absolutely.
The film? Like, you're putting that on in the film. Like,
yes.
in your day-to-day life, are you still
are
Marilyn?
You?
Because it drove me insane, the breathy voice. I was like, shut up. Talk normally.
You didn't enjoy it.
It just bugged me so... Because, again, the film's one note. Her voice is one note. Like,
yeah.
And then she's a singer. So she obviously has vocal control. Not Ana de Armas, Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just talk normally, honestly. Stop using the wispy voice.
But that's a sign of the time. She's playing to...
But to the public, in public, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But when she's with the others
sure,
as well.
Sure. Yeah.
So she never drops
even in her
it,
personal
which
life.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, which you know? Is crazy. Yeah. And I get it. It might be a thing that, you know, well, there's reasoning why, because she was always in character or whatever. I don't care. As an audience member, I was like, I'm just sick of that sound.
Sure. It does tie back to that monologue in her head when she's with JFK. It's just a couple of minutes. This is a dream. I wake up from this dream.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so she is, you know,
yeah.
that.
But when's it going to break? When's she going to, yeah. like.
It just never clicks. Mm. I have an observation to make that I finished the movie and I, like, sat there staring at the screen in silence for a while, and then I went in and chatted with Kath, and I said, I have a hot take on this film because I'm a genius. And she's like, all right, go on. And I'm like,
Kanye West here.
I know, right? Yeah. it's a horror movie. And she's like, what? And I'm like, and I was like, the way that it's like shot, the way that it puts you in this person's perspective takes away their ability to deal with the just never-ending trepidations around them. The scene where she wakes up in bed after she's been with JFK, black and white, like night photography, and there's a man just pushed up against the wall, and she's like walking through the house looking for people, and she looks out her window and she goes back to bed. All these moments, the moments where she's running from the abortion clinicians through the hospital and there's the burning building, the moments where she hears the phone ringing and she shoves it into the drawer, or when, you know, she, all these, in, and the abortion scenes themselves, which are horrific. And I was like, this is what this movie is. And I went online, and that's, everyone knows that. Like, every hot take online is people being like, this is a horror movie, it's not
it's
a
almost like, I was like, okay. It's almost like the follow-up to Midsommar or Hereditary.
It is, and that's actually, that's such a good point, that this is kind of got that Midsommar vibe where this person is put in a position where they have no control. The difference being that Midsommar has that, and I won't spoil a second thing now, but I'll just say, has an uplifting moment of agency for that character, whereas Marilyn ends with that very haunting thing. I want to talk about two movies real quick it reminded me of, and then I'm going to let you guys do what you
got to
do.
Yeah, go. You got time.
I've got a week.
Did you guys ever see Last Days?
Nope.
It's a movie by Gus Van Sant, and it's got... oh my gosh. Nope. Can't remember his name in it. Michael Pitt. Just remembered. Cool. And it's the fictionalized version of The Last Days of Kurt Cobain.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And there's a scene at the end of that, which I found really interesting, where Kurt's, you know, obviously died. And you see, as his body's on the ground, his spirit just climb out of his body and climb up a wall and go. And I was reminded of that so much at the end, where Anna's in bed. And she's dead. And then just while her body's still there, you see that overlay of her spirit like hugging the pillow and smiling up at the camera, which I found very haunting. Mm. I thought it was a really sort of tragic but lovely representation of, I don't know, has she found peace in death? Is there some degree to which this version of herself who we find smiling and engaging with us at the camera is the version we always wanted? You know, we just wanted her happy. So she's finally, you know, in that state. You know, I was really reminded of those similar films. And especially in the way that Last Days is an incredibly fictionalized version of how Kurt Cobain died, but it's just still trying to put you in that mind state of a guy at his, you know, rope's end or at the end of his tether. And the other movie it reminded me a lot of was Mulholland Drive, which is not shocking because Andrew Dominik loves David Lynch and talks about it repeatedly. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen Mulholland Drive.
Yep.
Chris, very, very wonderful movie from 2000, I think. And there are so many scenes that overlap. You've got Naomi Watts' audition, when she goes in to read the scene and she gives that really powerful reading of it and everyone's just kind of like, yeah, that was really good, and some people are a bit dismissive. Same with Marilyn when she's doing that first audition for Garrett Dillahunt, mm-hmm. and she nails it and they're like, well, she's not an actress, she's like a psycho.
It's
like
interesting though, that scene was interesting because the guy reading opposite her in the film, after him and Marilyn do this reading together, he's the only one that registers as that was.
Well, he registers that it was powerful, but then she leaves and he goes, she's not an actress, she's unstable. And that's it. And it's kind of like he can't deal with the fact that her true emotions have come to the fore there. So it's almost like he's been shaken
some
by that.
Some of the times too.
And then, Garrett Dillahunt, which is a bit on the nose, but him standing in the door and they're like, why did you think, boss? And he's like, that girl's got quite an ass on her. And so you're like, all right, well, cool.
It's not very subtle.
It's never subtle, the
whole
movie.
Why does she get famous? Yeah. How she looks.
Yes.
Very good.
The montage of her doing the pin-up photos and stuff like that in between her as a child and that is so well shot. It's beautiful. I think it's a gorgeous movie. The shots of the cinema where everyone has watched the film and they stand up and they clap in speed up motion. Again, it's a horror movie, all these things. I think the ending's really stupid. I think the reveal about the letters from Cass is really dumb. I was like, what? Like, who cares?
It's just more trauma.
It's making it worse.
Yes. Yeah. It was, but it was like a film doing it and turning and being like, So that was the twist. And you're like, there didn't need it to be a twist. I don't know why.
I'm already hurting.
That was her last tether yes. to reality.
It definitely holds thematically that was it. She needed her daddy and that was all she had. I hated it, but I get what you mean. The moment that's meant to lie there.
Okay, so we're going to wrap this up. Let's discuss the score. So initially, Tom, you were sitting at a 7?
7.5. I don't think I'd move from that because...
Okay.
Yeah.
No, well, you just talk to yourself Frank, back
we,
in a circle.
Did I was, we actually get your score initially?
I said 3.5.
You said 3.5. Okay.
I'll bump up to 4.26.
Sure.
Yeah, like, okay.
Talking about the visuals of it, yes, you know what, it is stunning and that redeems.
It's still a hate, though. You're still in the
hate. I wouldn't watch it again.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I think I might.
You'd watch it again for her performance.
And the visuals.
It's amazing.
Both. Yes. Anna is incredible. Yeah. I don't think we talked enough about her.
And it's rough that she probably won't win the Oscar, which, again, we've spoken about this a few times, Oscars and how annoying they are. That's a performance that's definitely worthy of Best Actress.
I have 30 seconds on that at the end. But you guys go.
No, do it now because we got more.
Don't you want to say where you're at with yours?
So initially I was a, what did I say?
4.5.
Yeah. Bumped it up to a 5.
Yep.
Still within the hate region. I think after the discussion, I want to go to whatever the bare minimum is, mind you. Let's bump it to a 6.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that I do... technically love the film. So would I watch it again? No.
Okay. So we're counting that as Marcus throwing in the pow.
Absolutely threw in the pow.
There it is. We still have our other bit that we can really quickly breeze through, which is what would you say you just liked most about it then? If you're on the side of when you came into this.
Disliked it. What did you like?
Disliked
about
it, but what did you like the most?
Ana de Armas' performance.
Yes.
Can it just be one?
It can just be one if you want. Yeah.
Great. Performances on the whole. Good acting.
Yes, I think it was a great cast. Marcus?
Because I've bumped up to the love column.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that I hated the pacing. I hated the very one-tone message, and we have clearly established that. It was like, okay, like from the start I was like, okay, I get it. And then halfway through I was like, okay, I get it. Yeah. And then it kept going. And you're by then I was like, horse. I'm just exhausted.
Beating 6 dead horses.
I was tired from the end of the film.
Yes.
Okay. And I just can't watch another film like that. Like, you know, kudos to everyone involved. Well done. I get what you're going for. That's it. That's it from me.
I think this is a stronger movie with a more deep thematic point to make. And you guys are totally right when it's just like, look at what we do to celebrities. Look at the way that fame corrupts in a horrific, visceral way. It's like, that is compelling visually enough to get me along, but I don't come away from it with anything to be able to be like, wow, there's some intellectual.
I'd sooner watch 3 hours of Ricky Gervais tearing the Oscars apart like he did.
I think it's interesting you make that comparison because I think some of the reason people hate Ricky as well on a similar level to this movie by Andrew Dominik is the smugness with Ricky. Like Ricky's, you know, screw you all, you're bad people. And now I'm going to go and be part of the elite as well.
Go back to my mansion.
And Andrew Dominik's like, look at what we do to women and look at what we do to celebrities and look at what I'm doing to this woman to make this movie. And it's like, the layers here are really complex.
Yeah.
The music in this movie is beautiful. We did say, but it is beautiful. The Oscars are not going to give this movie anything, which I think is a shame.
Should at least give it cinematography.
I think cinematography, it won't, because I think most of the branches are going to watch the first 20 minutes. And
what's a Netflix direct release, right?
Power of the Dog got so much stuff last year. So Netflix is still on the top of things like that, but I don't think it's going to. I think Ana de Armas is in a very loaded field. You've got Cate Blanchett and Tar that's coming out soon. You've got Michelle Williams in The Fablemans. You've got Olivia Colman in Empire of Light. You've got a handful of other actresses that are coming into the field.
These are movies that are going to come out soon. You said you loved the film. What did you hate about it?
I just said the thematic, like the fact that it was too thematic.
Okay, that was clearly established.
That's
that was
your
my
point.
Thing. Yeah. But my 30-second bit about the Oscars.
It's been 8 minutes.
My several 30-second bits about the Oscars. Ana de Armas is not going to get nominated. She should.
God.
Great.
And actually, one more thing.
Wraps
no,
up.
I'm done.
Cut the mic.
I was kidding. Yes, likes Anna. It's hard to go.
Of course.
It's hard to go past her. As you said before, without her, there is no film. Mm. It doesn't have a storyline, so to speak. Dislikes, we're going to have to go against Tom here and say the cinematography, the bag of tricks. They used everything black and white colour, slow-mo, sped up, cameras strapped to people running through things to get that, you know, fixed on person look. Cameras strapped to chests of drawers when they slide the drawer in and the camera moves, internal body shots. Stuff just kept taking me out of the film.
Yeah.
And I couldn't just sit and watch. I was kept thinking, oh, look, they're doing a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the more...
Watch a thing I can do.
The more...
Do less.
You're invested in a film, the more the visual aspects work for you and the more it starts... I totally see where you're coming from, where it's just like, if you're not enjoying it, those things are just going to be like pyrotechnics. It's like, you're not convincing me of like... And it like distanced it for you. I get that. Yeah. I loved it, but I get that.
Cool. All right.
I think we did it.
Well established.
That only took us 2.5 hours. We came in just under the length of the movie.
You're talking about it.
I think we've established that if you do like Marilyn Monroe, don't watch this film. And if you love film in general, give it a watch.
If you enjoy horror movies, well-made film, gorgeous cinematography, music and acting, I think it's a good movie, but it is brutal.
Nice. All right.
All right. I've been Frank.
I've been Marcus.
I've been Frank as well, but my name is Tom.
Oh, my God.
I've been Chris this time.
All righty, and that's been Throw in the Power.
Throw in the Power.
Throw in the Power.